Jayaradhamadhavama Kunyavihari.
Namacharya Srivastava Jaya Premse Guru Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadana Srivasiti Gaur Bhaktivedanta Gajaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopagopita Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijaya Maturadam Kijaya Navadeep Dham Kijaya Jagadatha Sami Kijaya Shimani Lassi Devi Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijaya Govardhan Sri Guru and Gauranga Shri Prabhupada Kijaya So before beginning class, I just want to welcome all the devotees who are watching us. Dear Prashanta from Bosnia, Lila Rati from Aguascalientes, Mexico, China Diagora, Shamilata, Ram Vijay. So quite a few people watching us. So we're in Suva, Fiji. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the beginning of chapter 12. So Om Namo Bhagavate, chapter 12 in the 8th canto, of course. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm going to read the chapter summary before we go to the first verse. And this chapter is entitled The Mohini Murti Incarnation Bewilders Lord Shiva. So the chapter summary is as follows. This chapter describes how Lord Shiva was bewildered upon seeing the beautiful Mohini, Murti incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how he later came to his senses. When Lord Shiva heard about the pastimes performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of an attractive woman, he mounted his bull and went to see the Lord, accompanied by his wife Uma and his servants, the Bhuta Gana, or ghosts. He approached the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord as the all-pervading Lord, the universal form, the supreme controller of creation, of the Lord. Then he expressed his desire. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is very kind to his devotees. Therefore, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, Lord Shiva, he expanded his energy and manifested himself in the form of a very beautiful and captivating woman. Upon seeing this form, even Lord Shiva was captivated. Later, by the grace of the Lord, he controlled himself. This demonstrates that by the power of the Lord's external energy, everyone is captivated by the form of woman in the material world. Again, however, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the influence of Maya. This was evinced by Lord Shiva, the topmost devotee of the Lord. First he was captivated, but later, by the grace of the Lord, he restrained himself and has declared in this connection that only a pure devotee can restrain himself from the attractive feature of Maya. Otherwise, once a living entity is trapped by the external feature of Maya, he cannot overcome it. After Lord Shiva was graced by the Supreme Lord, he circumambulated the Lord along with his wife, Bhavani, and his companions, ghosts. Then he left for his own abode. Shukadeva Goswami concludes this chapter by describing the transcendental qualities of Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by declaring that one can glorify the Lord by nine kinds of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtanam. So, text one. Shri Badarayanir Uvacha Vrisha Vajo Disham Yedam Ayoshet Rupena Anavan Mohayitva Suraganam Hare Sovam Apayayat Shri Badarayane Rupacha Vishadvajo Nisham Yedaho Yoshid Rupena Dhanavan Mohayatva Suraganan Hare Somam Apayaya Shri Vadarayane Ruvacha Vishatvaja Nisham Yedaho Yoshit Rupe Nathanavan Amoveyitva Suraganam Hare Somamapaya Shri Vadarayane Ruvacha Vasuraganam Hare Somamapaya Okay. Shri Vadarayane Vacha Shri Shukadev Goswami said Vrishadvajaha Lord Shiva, who was carried by a bull, Nishamya hearing Idam this news. Yoshit Rupena, by assuming the form of a woman. Dhanavan, the demons. Mohayatva, enchanting. Suragana, unto the demigods. Harehe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Somam, nectar, apayayat, cause to drink, risham, the bull, Is it? It's hard to. Is this? No, it's not the bowl. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's whited out here in this page. Aruya. Mountain. Girishaha. Lord Shiva. Sarva. All. Utaganahai. By the ghosts. Ritaha. Surrounded. Saha. Devya. With Uma. Yayao. Went. Thrashtum. To see. Yatra. Where. Aste. Stayed. Girisha, Sarva Bhutaganai Vritaha, Sahadevya Yaya Rashtum, Yatraste Manusudanaha. So the translation is Shukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of a woman, captivated the demons and enabled the demigods to drink the nectar. After hearing of these pastimes, Lord Shiva, who was carried by a bull, went to the place where Madhusudan, the Lord, resides. Accompanied by his wife, Uma, and surrounded by his companions, the ghosts, Lord Shiva went there to see the Lord's form as a woman. So, text 3, there's no purport to text 1 or 2, no purport to text 3, and so we're going to go on to text 4 in a second. Sabhajito Bhagavata Sadaram Sumaya Bhavaha Subhavishta Vachedam Prati Puja Smayan Harim. The Supreme Personality of Godhead welcomed Lord Shiva and Uma with great respect. And after having being seated comfortably, Lord Shiva duly worshipped the Lord and smilingly spoke as follows. Text 4. Shri Mahadeva Uvacha Deva Deva Jagatpa Vyapin Jagadisha Jaganmaya Sarvesham Abhibhavanam Twamatma Hetu Ishwaraha. So the translation is, Lord Mahadev said, O chief demigod among the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, master of the universe, by your energy, you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the super soul or supreme living force of everything. Therefore, you are Parameshvara, the supreme controller of all controllers. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Vishnu resides within the material world as the Sattva Guna Avatara. Lord Shiva is the Tamo Guna Avatara. And Lord Brahma is the Rajo Guna Avatara. But although Lord Vishnu is among them, he is not in the same category. Lord Vishnu is Deva Deva, the chief of all the demigods. Since Lord Shiva is in this material world, the energy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu includes Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is therefore called Jagat Vyapi, the all-pervading Lord. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Maheshvara, and so people think that Lord Shiva is everything. But here, Lord Shiva addresses Lord Vishnu, indicating that even Vishveshwara is under Lord Vishnu's control. Lord Vishnu is the master of the spiritual world, yet he controls the material world also, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dyakshena Prakati Suyate Sa Chara Charam. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are also sometimes called Ishvara, but the supreme Ishvara is Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. As stated in the Brahma Sangita, Ishvara Paramat Krishnaha. The Supreme Lord is Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Everything in existence works in proper order because of Lord Vishnu. Andantara Stam. Paramanu Chayantara Stam. Even Paramanu, the small atoms, work because of Lord Vishnu's presence within them. Okay, so Om Ganati Vananda Shah Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, this is a controversy that's been there in India, at least. Like, who is God, Lord Shiva, or Lord Vishnu? And in order to answer that question, we have to refer to Shastra. As we mentioned yesterday, that there is something called epistemology. Remember? You mentioned that? Some of you remember. Epistemology means, how do you know what you know? Remember we talked about this yesterday? How you can defeat anyone's argument using what's called the epistemological argument. Ask them, how do you know what you know? So, people come and say, Lord Shiva is God. Some people will say, I'm God. Some people will say that Vishnu is God. Some people will say that Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. Other people will say that Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. And the whole thing gets very bewildering. And that's called Hinduism. Hinduism means bewilderment. Because there's no one set of beliefs. I mean, you can say, well, every Hindu accepts the Vedic literatures. That may or may not be true, because there are some Hindus who don't accept the Vedic literatures. There are some Hindus who only accept the four original Vedas, and they don't accept anything else. And some of them only accept the four original Vedas and the Upanishads, and they don't accept the Itihasas or Puranas. And some of them say they accept the Vedas, and they don't accept deity worship, like Arya Samaj, right? You've heard about them before? Arya Samaj, Brahma Samaj, they don't want to see deities. So, you know, what is the truth? So we're going to give, tell some stories, give some quotes, etc. like that. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have the statement, Uyanti Yat Surya, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, bewilders the demigods. That's very interesting. So here we have Lord Shiva, who is a demigod, a servant of Krishna. And he is trying to understand something that he doesn't understand. Even in this chapter, he's trying to understand or see Krishna's incarnation as Mohini Murti. And later on in the chapter, of course, he gets bewildered by Mohini Murti, starts running after her all over the earth, and other things happen, which we're not going to talk about right now. And so he gets bewildered by Krishna. Similarly, we see Lord Brahma, the famous story, the Brahma Vimohana Lila. You all know that story? That's where Lord Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys. And he came back after a moment, and he noticed that we're still there. And, of course, the new calves and cowherd boys were Vishnu Tattva expansions of Krishna. So he bewildered Lord Brahma, and he bewildered Indra. You know, so many stories. And even, interestingly enough, Krishna bewildered Balaram. Did you know that? I'll tell you the story about that. So once upon a time, Krishna was out with the cowherd boys. Balaram wasn't out with him because it was Balaram's birthday. So Balaram was back preparing for his big birthday party. It's like we have birthday parties here, so Balaram had birthday party. Birthday parties are bona fide. Sometimes devotees go to, you know, sometimes the brahmacharis go to the households and say, that's not bona fide to celebrate a birthday. I've heard sometimes people say that. But actually, they celebrated Krishna's birthday. So, but they, you can say, well, he's God. You can celebrate his birthday. But Nanda Maharaj didn't understand that Krishna was God. He was showing the tradition in Braj, you celebrate your kid's birthday, which is fine. So he made a birthday cake. So in this particular case, they made a birthday cake for Balaram. So Balaram wasn't out there with the cowherd boys and Krishna. Excuse me. Balaram did not see Krishna kill the Agasura demon. He didn't know about it. And because that happened that particular day. And then later on, there are the calves and the coward boys stolen by Lord Brahma the same day. And so this all happened. Krishna replaced the calves and the coward boys with his Vishnu Tattva expansions. And the parents of all the coward boys, they started to love their children even more than they loved their children before. The reason being that this particular juncture, their children were all Krishna. Pretty good, isn't it? Of course, generally the parents think their children are Krishna, but they're wrong. Right? Just like they do not see faults in their children. Like Prabhupada gives the example that if you have a blind child, the mother calls the child lotus-eyed one. And the mother is thinking the stool of the child was like sandalwood pulp. Yeah, they think like that. So anyway, but in this case, the children were God. And so this went on for a whole year because a moment of Lord Brahma's eternal affection and maternal affection that fulfilled their desire to have Krishna as their son. Because they were looking at Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj and feeling some transcendental envy. Not envy like they have in the material world, but that, you know, they were thinking, wow, I wish I had Krishna as my son. But Krishna fulfilled their desire. Okay, so then other things happened, like even the cows, that means the older cows, not the calves. The cows actually had just had calves, but the calves that were stolen were actually older than the calves that the cows had just had. You follow? And so the cows who were nurturing their little calves saw the older calves who were Krishna at the bottom of the hill, and they ran down the hill. You know, cows running down the hill. It's a pretty interesting sight. You ever seen a cow run? And so Balaram, he saw all this. He said, Krishna, what's up? You didn't tell me anything about this. And then he understood. Gradually, Krishna explained everything. So this shows how even Balaram becomes bewildered by Krishna. What to speak? I know, of course, Balaram, in the pastimes of the Ramayana, he's Lakshman. And certainly Ram was bewildering Lakshman quite a bit. Because Ram didn't tell Lakshman that the actual Sita that was kidnapped was Maya Sita. Ram knew that. So when he was crying and everything like that, it was actually a good act. It's true. Because Ram had arranged for the real Sita to be taken by Agni and protected by Agni while the Maya Sita was taken by Ravana. And of course that Maya Sita, this whole story, she later fell in love with Ram because the whole year she was chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. So later on she got married to Ram too. Not in that particular pastime because Ram was only allowed to have one wife, Ekapatni Prata. But later on, in the Balaji pastime. How is he bewildering us? Well, we think we're this body. That's pretty good bewilderment. We think we have a certain family. That's bewilderment. We think that we're of a certain age. That's bewilderment. Krishna's making us look like asses. Isn't it? I mean, it's really stupid. I mean, if I were to hypnotize you and say, you are a donkey, you are a donkey, and you run around, that would be pretty stupid. So by the action of Maya, Maya's hypnotizing you. You are in Fiji, you are married to someone, so she's your wife, or he's your husband, and you are whatever. And you go, okay, that's me. And then if you think of an animal, we become attached to animals very easily, like Bart Maharaj. Then Krishna hypnotizes you. Oh, you're a cat. Meow. You're a dog. Ruff, ruff. Like that. I mean, actually, it's a fact that it's so bewildering. Just like yesterday, I was climbing the stairs here, and I saw a little kitten. And I was thinking, oh, how cute. I should pick it up. So that, you know, so we get bewildered like really easily like that. And then I was thinking of it. Of course, the same day, like Krishna gives me warning, a disciple wrote to me and said that she had picked up a poor kitten that was lost on the road and everything like that, took care of it until it was adopted, and then she found after the kitten left there were all sorts of ghosts and goblins in her house. You know, because cats bring, did you know this? Cats bring like Lord Shiva's associates with them. They can curse and everything like that. Anyway, that's another story. You probably know that's part of, in India, everybody knows that. That you don't put a cat with a pregnant lady because it curses the baby. Anyway, you know that. No.
What? You know, cat can see ghosts.
Yeah, so the cat calls a ghost. So anyway, so the point I'm making is we get bewildered by little things. Even you put a plate of tasty prasadam in front of you, you get bewildered. So Lord Shiva, of course, is a great, great devotee. But we see him getting bewildered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and even fighting with the Lord in sometimes. I mean, one example is the story of Banasura. Banasura, of course, was the great-grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And there's the whole story of Usha and Aniruddha. You know that story? No. Anyway, so there was Aniruddha, was Krishna's grandson. And I guess I can tell the story. It's an interesting story. Once upon a time, there was this beautiful girl. Her name was Usha. Romantic story. And she was protected. She never saw a man her whole life. Or she saw some eunuchs. Not real men, other than her father and everything. And so she was protected by her father, Banasura. You know the story now? Anyway, she was protected by her father, Banasura. And what happened is that she had some dreams. And her dream, what happened in her dream? She was dreaming of a very handsome young man. And so she was just like, oh, I'm in love. Anyway, and then what happened is that she had a friend, Chitralekha. And Chitralekha was a magic yogini, a lady who could actually had all mystic powers. And so she said, we've got to find out who you're in love with. So Chitralekha drew pictures of all the handsome men in the universe. Is he him? Is he him? Him. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And, they got close. They saw a picture of Krishna. It's very close. And then they came to Aniruddha. Wow, it's him! And so what happened is that Chitralekha said, okay, I can bring him to you. I'll kidnap him. So she went in the middle of the night, kidnapped Aniruddha, and it was love. It's in the Bhagavatam. Don't blame me for telling love stories in Bhagavatam. It's not my fault. So anyway, so it was love. And then the father, it was reported that she was having some interaction with boys, and the father came in and he basically, tied up poor Aniruddha, and then Krishna had to come, and then Krishna was fighting with Banasura, and Lord Shiva came, and Lord Shiva was fighting with Krishna. So back and forth, back and forth. And, finally Krishna wins. I can tell the details of the story. And there was a marriage, and Krishna cut off all the arms except for four arms of Banasura, because he had many, many arms, like 1,000 arms or something like that. So, anyway, that's another story of Lord Shiva's being subservient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or bewildered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, we mentioned before, we'll tell more instances, not of bewilderment, but how Lord Shiva is always serving the Lord. Anybody who's gone to Vrindavan, to Braj, knows that Lord Shiva guards the holy dham for Lord Krishna. He's called a dikpal. That means he guards different sections, which is also very interesting. Because Lord Shiva wanted to see the rasa dance. And in order to see the rasa dance, no men allowed. Only ladies. So in order to see the rasa dance, he had to take the form of a lady. This Gopishra Mahadev. And he guards the rasa dance. Even when Narada Muni wanted to see the rasa dance, Lord Shiva blocked him. So you cannot come, even though you're Narada Muni, you're not permitted. So he made Narada Muni take the form of a lady too. Naradi. We have one disciple here in Fiji called Naradi, is her name. She was very upset when I gave her that name. Because she thought I was giving her a male name, and I explained, you know, it's Narada Muni as a female. So that's Gopishvara Mahadev, and then when you go to Radhakund, Kundeshvara Mahadev, you heard this before? And when you go to the Manasa Ganga, then you got Chakaleshvara Mahadev, because he's right at where the Sudarshan Chakra was. Chakaleshvara Mahadev. And then another story of Vrindavan passed on Lord Shiva and Krishna is very interesting. When Krishna was a little baby, Lord Shiva wanted to see him. So he took the form of a mendicant. Now in India, when one takes the form of a mendicant, you perform a lot of austerities. You look a little messy. Just like when Vyasadeva came, Satyavati called Vyasadeva in the Mahabharata, you know the story, to have a child with Ambika and Ambalika. Then they were scared. One of them like, and the other one, like that. So they had a blind child, and that was Dhritarashtra, and a white child, completely white, sickly, that was Pandu. So, you know, so Lord Shiva was in the forest performing austerities to see Krishna as a little baby. So he comes to Nanda Maharaj's house, knocks on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there? And Yashodamai opens the door, and she sees this person. He doesn't look fantastic. And she slams the door immediately in his face. You've heard this story before? No one's heard the story. You've heard the story. At least some of you have brought your bosses. She slams the door in his face. And then he's crying, like for days he's crying. And they can't stop him from crying. And so finally, Yashodamai understands, well, maybe we offended the sage. And so she goes looking. Oh, sage, where are you? Please come back and see my little boy. So the sage comes back, Lord Shiva comes back, and she allows Lord Shiva to hold baby Krishna in his hands. And in this way, we see that Lord Shiva is worshipping Krishna. I mean, so many stories like that about Lord Shiva. He's called Nandishvara, anyway. And he actually, you see in Vrindavan, or Braj, the three primary hills are actually incarnations of Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma. Did you know that? You didn't know that. What hill is a manifestation of Krishna or Vishnu? Govardhan, that's easy. Wow. What hill is a manifestation of Lord Shiva? Does anyone know? What? Huh? No. Nandagram. Nandagram, where Nanda Maharaj and Krishna, they reside. And what hill is a manifestation of Lord Brahma? Nobody knows. What? Varshana. It's interesting, isn't it? So, anyway, so Lord Shiva is serving the Supreme Personality of God. And, of course, the name Lord Shiva means auspicious. It's actually a name of Lord Vishnu. Did you know that? It's one of the thousand names of Lord Vishnu. Because it means auspicious. And actually the names of the demigods can also be considered names of Lord Vishnu, some of the demigods. Like Brahma means the greatest. But in the context of the demigods, it means the Lord Brahma, you know, with the four heads in our universe, thousands of heads in other universes. So you have to understand the words in their proper context. So Lord Shiva originates, there's many stories of Lord Shiva's appearance, but the original aspect of Lord Shiva from whom the Lord Shiva in this world expands is called Sada Shiva. Sada Shiva is in the spiritual world. He has a place in the spiritual world. Just like we hear about Advaitacharya, he is considered to be an incarnation of Sada Shiva and Mahavishnu, right? So there's this Sada Shiva, which is the Vishnu Tattva form of the Lord, and then he expands as the Shiva in this world. And the Lord Shiva in this world comes in various ways. I mean, you all know about the appearance of Lord Shiva from Lord Brahma's anger. Yeah, that's the Rudra incarnation. When Lord Brahma got very angry at the four Kumaras, like that because they refused to get married, then Rudra appears. And Lord Shiva is present in many different forms in this world. I mean, of course, as we mentioned, the Guna avatar, as Prabhupada mentions here, which means the avatar of the mode of ignorance. So whenever you have like an ignorant thing, like anger, for example, as a manifestation of Lord Shiva, it doesn't mean that you should get angry so that Lord Shiva appears and blesses you. You know, let's say Sumukh gets angry at his wife or something. Don't get that Lord Shiva! No, it's a manifestation of Lord Shiva's energy, or the twilight is a manifestation. And as we mentioned yesterday, Lord Shiva is the most merciful because he takes care of the lowest class of living entities as his associates. And he arranges for their birth, just like the story in the Bhagavatam of Kashyapa and Diti. That Kashyapa explained to his wife that when people have the relationship, the sexual relationship, at an improper time, then Lord Shiva is looking to put some of his associates, who are ghosts and demons and goblins, into their womb, into the lady's womb. So that's why many people, they're born, they're just like ghosts. You see them. Isn't it? I mean, they're like ghosts, and they drink kava and everything like that. So this is all... It's true. So Lord Shiva is, in other words, Lord Shiva is present everywhere. We worship Lord Shiva as a devotee. You can have him on your altar if you want, but you give him prasad. Actually, it's prohibited for a Vaishnava to take Shiva prasad. In other words, food that's just offered to Shiva and not offered to Vishnu. You can take food that's offered to Vishnu and give it to Lord Shiva, and then you can take the remnants. That's okay. In Bhubaneswara, India, which is called Gupta Kashi, that means hidden Kashi. Kashi is the abode of Lord Shiva, of course. And sometimes Lord Shiva is called Kashi Raj, the king of Kashi, or the ruler of Kashi. And sometimes the king in Kashi, of Kashi is called Kashi Raj, too. So anyway, so, of course, Lord Vishnu one time burnt down Kashi, and he gave Lord Shiva Bhubaneswara as Gupta Kashi to live in. So what they do in Bhubaneswara to worship Lord Shiva, to offer him food, they take the remnants from Lord Jagannath, which is from Jagannath Puri, which is very close, and they put it, the remnants, in a taxi and bring them to Lord Shiva every day. And Lord Shiva is taking Mahaprasadam. This is the standard of worship in Bhubaneswara. And of course, there's that story where Lord Shiva, when he obtained Mahaprasadam, the Chaitanya Mangal, from Narada Muni, he started dancing in ecstasy. He was almost destroying the universe because he was so happy. And then he had to be stopped by Parvati. Parvati was upset that she did not get any Mahaprasadam. Lord Shiva practically insulted her by telling her, you're just Maya. And she called Lord Vishnu to appear, and now, because of her mercy, we're all getting Mahaprasad. So anyway, so these are some stories. So, and, you know, proving Shastric stories and philosophical points that prove that Lord Shiva is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the, so you can even say he's the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. The pure devotee is described like that, the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. You understand? That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Prabhupada explains like that. So, any questions or comments about Lord Shiva? Yes, Doctor.
When Buddha went to Lanka, in Rameshwar,
yeah.
He worshipped Shivling.
When Ram went? You said when Rudra went.
I said when Rudra.
Lord Ram. I thought you said when Rudra. Yeah. He worshipped the Shiva Lang. Yeah.
I do not understand worship of Shivling.
Well, you respect your father, don't you?
Yes.
You love your father. You love your mother. So, Lord Shiva is our father. Just as much, or perhaps even more so, than your physical father in this lifetime. Because at the beginning of this creation, it's mentioned that Lord Vishnu doesn't touch Maya. But Lord Shiva is an expansion of Lord Vishnu who comes in contact with Maya or illusion. So Lord Vishnu glances at the material creation. He just looks at it. Now we understand from the Brahma Samhita, Angani Yasha Sakalen Driadri Timati, the Lord senses, he can do anything with his senses. He can see with his ears. He can hear with his nose. He can impregnate with his eyes. So he shoots the living entities towards the creation. Because in the time of the dissolution, they're within his body, the Mahavishnu we're talking about right now. They're resting. And that shooting is called Shambhu. You understand? So that's Lord Shiva. And he consorts, and for those of you who don't understand what that means he has the sexual relationship with Durga. And by that, he puts us in the material creation. Just like your father, you know, just a normal thing, the semen and the ovum, you know, for the father and the mother. That's why he's your father. So Lord Shiva does the same with the whole creation. Of course, he has all of us at the same time. Your father only had you. You didn't have a twin, did you? We had one devotee, one of our devotees, a very nice devotee from Fiji. He's in Australia. He was having trouble having children, so they took some medicine. They had three at one time. Three for the price of one. Very nice devotee. Yeah, anyway. Very nice. I stay at his house now when I'm in Sydney. So people can have maybe three for the price of one, or what is the maximum, Doctor? I think they have five sometimes. Quintuplets. Any more than that? And if you're a cat, you can have eight. And if you're a pig, how many pigs can have more? How many can pigs have? I'm not expert.
12.
Okay. There's an expert. So, but Lord Shiva had all of us at one time. So he's our father. And Durga's our mother. So the Shiva Linga represents the male organ for Lord Shiva. And there's the yoni. You understand what I'm talking about. That represents the mother and father. So actually the Shiva Linga represents Durga and Shiva, both together. People don't understand that. Do they understand that when they're worshiping? No. Yeah, but there's the yoni, too, the underneath. You understand? So the Shiva and Durga there. And so you're respecting, in many Vaishnava temples, they have a Shiva Linga outside of the temple. And they worship the Shiva Linga and get permission from Lord Shiva to go in the temple, like he's, because he's our father. We should not disrespect Lord Shiva. There's actually an interesting deity, there's an interesting Shiva Linga in Braj. It's called Chinchaharan. Anyone seen this? It's a thousand lingas in one. Anyone been there? You've seen it, haven't you? Anyone done the Braj Mandal Parikrama here? No, you have. But it, there's this deity. It actually is one linga and is all like a thousand lingas imprinted on its side. And he's called Chintaharan Mahadev. And that means the Lord Shiva who takes away your anxiety. Like Hari or Harad means to steal or take away. Chintaharan. So everyone's in anxiety in this world. Do you understand? And so Lord Shiva takes away your anxiety. It's nice. So even Nanda Maharaj, it's described that he would actually observe Shiva Ratri. Not as a regular basis, it's described in the Krishna book, from time to time he would observe. So we as Vaishnavas can observe Shivaratri with the right understanding. He's not God, but he's our father. And that's a very deep relationship that we have with Lord Shiva. Just like you have with your father. Right? He is everyone's father. In the material, he put everybody here. I mean, he's not the original father, you know, Adi Purusham or anything like that. But he put everybody here in the material world. So the same respect you have, or maybe even more so, for your own father in this lifetime, you should have for Lord Shiva and Durga. And Durga is your mother. That's nice, isn't it? Ma Durga. So, of course, we don't do Durga Puja, Kali Puja, or anything like that. I mean, obviously, we're Vaishnavas. We worship Krishna. But we respect. We have a great deal of love and respect. I love Lord Shiva. I mean, and Lord Rama is teaching us that. He's teaching us to love Lord Shiva. And we get permission for him to enter the holy Dham. First thing I do when I do a Radhakund Parikrama, I take people to Kundeshwar Mahadev. Anyone's been Radhakund with me? Some of you have. Isn't it? We go to Kundeshwar. When we do the formal, when we're just doing Govardhan, we just go around. But when we do the formal Radhakund Parikrama, first thing is Kundeshwar Mahadev. Please give us permission to enter Radhakund. He's our father. He's our guru. So, okay, I know it's time. Thank you. Okay, so thank you very much. I want to thank everybody who's joining us. Rupanuga. Hey, Rupanuga, your wife is watching. And your wife is watching Rupanuga. Say hello to her. Tell her you love her.